Take a large drink of this water. God, that's wonderful. Oh my God, that's wonderful. Take a large drink of that water. And then host the show from right in that chair over there.
You're going to sit over there and I'm going to...
And I'll just be the voice of the man behind the curtain, right? I would love that.
Carrying the whole show by myself anyway.
Do you see how the camera's kind of like angled towards us?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like it.
You should flip the thing so that we can see if we're...
doing
how it looks.
You really just want to see yourself.
I'm feeling on myself.
Look at you. Look at you, Mike. See, I kind of like this.
Yeah, but again, it can't stay like that because I'll get distracted by my own beauty. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Two Guys with Raging Goals. I'm Mikey, and this is Adam, and every Friday.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, guys. We moved to Friday. Every Friday, we bring you a conversational podcast where one of us brings a topic to the table, and we discuss it for your enjoyment. If you like that, you can follow us on Facebook and YouTube at Two Guys with Raging Goals. You can follow us on Patreon at patreon.com/twoguyswithraging. Patreon.com/twoguysraging. If you like the things you're seeing, go over to Patreon, throw us a couple bucks, help support the show, keep the lights on. You're going to hear a ton of construction, maybe, possibly, over our loud asses. Has nothing to do with that, but we're going to pretend that we have construction going on and people are taking half the house.
Yeah,
so if
for
you
sure.
Got, like, if we don't get the money on Patreon, guys, they're taking half the house. You can also follow us anywhere that podcasts are available, iTunes, Stitcher, everywhere but Google Play, because we're not there yet. Rate, like, share, and subscribe.
Yes.
Back to what we were saying.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal. Here's how you do it right, Mike. So, just got on Grindr again, right?
Adam's single, people.
Yes. So I get on Grindr again. It's a real fucked up app. I was just talking to you about how it's like Pokemon Go for gays.
Yeah. But it's really like going to break the apocalypse
right.
For you guys.
It's bullshit because it's a real shitty app. Crashes less than fucking Pokemon Go. Okay.
Well, yeah, probably less people using it.
Oh, motherfucker.
No, I guarantee you more people want to play Pokemon than suck a dick. Alright?
Okay! Maybe. So here's the deal, though. This is how you do it right. It's got an option to link your Facebook and your Twitter and your Instagram.
Oh, so you can have all your...
So you just have... So the people can view your profile and then fucking...
Spiderweb
into your social presence. And you know what, Mike? You know what I've got lurking down there? This motherfucking show, okay? I'm 50% of Two Guys with Raging Goals.
You are.
It's wonderful.
People are now chasing your Grindr and...
And it's nuts. People are messaging me like, oh my God, I saw your show. It's so funny. You're so funny. One of these guys, I stopped talking to them because I told this person, I host this podcast with my token straight friend. That's my usual pitch, right? Token straight friend.
Makes you sound, you sound what?
Cultured.
Cultured, yeah. Makes you cultured.
So, hosted with my token straight friend. 2 days later, he tunes in, checks it out, and is like, hey, I saw your show. It's really funny. Two gay guys getting together, getting real witty. I was like, I said he was my token straight friend. Fuck. Do you not listen? Do you not read the words that I typed to you?
Wasting my energy.
Wasting
here.
My fucking time. I'm trying to build
a
social monopoly.
I mean, I'm in nowhere ever, probably ever going to be single again in my life.
No.
But I don't have the need to be on Bumble or Grindr. Or
oh my God, you would make a killing on Bumble. you would be. They call you the Bumblebee.
I think that's actually what the app, like there's Bumblebee Friends or something like that.
Oh!
Yeah. But anyways, one of my friends told me the other day that she works out to our podcast all the time.
Oh.
And they were like, it's the perfect amount of time because it's like 45 minutes.
It's like way yeah. too long. And then when I'm done, I'm like, oh, fuck.
They're still talking.
They're still talking. And I'm tired.
But, and then, okay, so we were late on our last episode, right? We didn't post until like 2-3 days later.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Adam's traumatic life.
Yeah.
He's from a broken home now.
OMG. It's crazy.
So we posted late. I've never had so many motherfuckers come out of the woodwork, and they were like, hello?
Yeah, see, nobody...
Waiting!
Nobody here said that to me, but that's I think that's because they knew,
yeah,
people, like, what
yeah,
was going
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
The people in your life,
yeah.
like, they're like, hey, Mike, where the fuck's the episode?
I'm a goddamn Patreon subscriber. Where the fuck are the episodes?
I'll start cutting real tiny slits in my neck and bleeding out on you if you don't.
So sorry for the delay. Adam got crazy, started cutting things.
Just small cuts.
But, yeah, and for those of you guys who are watching this podcast right now, also make sure every Tuesday you can tune into us at 5 o'clock Eastern
yes.
time and catch a live Facebook video. So if you, go, if you follow us on Facebook at Two Guys with Raging Goals, you can follow Adam does a live video from the studio right here.
Right here.
And then I'm in the comments. So, make sure to check that out. The last time we did it, all the notifications didn't work for some reason. So like,
I know, I'm gonna stop tagging
billions,
things.
Billions
I'm gonna
people
stop tagging
get them.
Things. I'm gonna still hashtag Two Guys Raging Tuesdays.
Yeah, because that's a thing.
Because that's fucking wonderful.
Yeah, it's gonna be a thing.
That's genius.
Okay, so today, Adam.
Yes.
I want to talk about seminal moments in our lives.
Okay.
And I say moments, but what made me think of this is on my drive here, I was listening to Steve Jobs. His Stanford address.
Oh, okay.
Because it's on my, like, get hyped mixed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm moving the chair over a little. I feel like I'm
that's
too
okay.
close to you.
You just don't want to be as close to me. That's
well,
okay.
if the grinder, if the sentinels come, I want them to be able to distinguish.
Well,
like,
nobody else
they
can.
Gotta, yeah, no.
Like,
no,
I don't
right.
know.
Fucking A.
Like, yeah, he looks like he's... Oh,
and again,
I
my favorite thing is when people are like, oh, I'm really sorry. No, it's fine. It's not an insult to say that you thought I was gay.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
Yeah. What the fuck? Why is that a problem?
Yeah.
Why is being gay a problem?
It's not like you called me ugly. Like this fuck.
You said I'm ugly?
I didn't.
Or did
that.
You
I
say that
like,
I call you ugly? Because I would call you ugly. That is very likely.
You would call me ugly. Also, you are ugly. So,
God damn it.
Both things true.
Oh, my God.
All right, so I'm listening to it, and in his Stanford address, Steve Jobs had a quote that was like, you can't connect the dots looking ahead. You can only connect the dots looking back and then see how your life progressed, right? So, like, essentially, like, when you are able to reflect back on your life, you can see how it led you to this point and, like, how you got to where you are and the good times, bad times, whatever. But you can't figure that out in the moment. Like, you can't see the bigger picture because you're living in it, and so you can't figure out, like, why am I doing what I'm doing right now, or, like, is this the end result, and those
right.
sorts of things. You can only connect them looking back, and you have to hope that something is pushing you in the right direction or that you're making the right choices in the moment.
Yeah.
So, I don't necessarily mean seminal moments, like one particular moment, like the first time you realized you were gay. Like, what I'm thinking of is, like, almost chapters. So, like,
yeah.
I can look back on my life, and, like, I'm old now, so I basically am retiring.
Right,
but
yeah.
I feel like I can look back on my life so far, and there are, like, chunks of my life that I could take out and be like, man, go, like, put it up on a shelf. That was some of the best times of my life.
Yeah.
Like, I loved living then. This was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can think of, like, two or three of those, like, that break up my life to getting to now. So I wanted to know if you have that same sort of experience, or if you have moments that you, like, yeah, and that's helped shape who I am today or whatever.
Well, it's really odd. Like, so all growing up, like, have I ever told you I went to 7 different schools?
Jesus. I guess you never actually said that, but I knew you went to a bunch of different schools because we've talked about, like, when you were at this school or this school or this school or farm camp. Or
yeah, right, yeah. So, like, when I...
So that's homeschooling. Well, for those kids.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Fuck.
For Billie Jean and
fucking
like
went and lived with the Amish.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sorry.
OMG.
I'm sorry.
Guys.
I'm sorry.
Our Patreon supporters are watching right now.
I'm on my phone right now, you guys, and I'm really sorry for those of you who are doing audio listening. Audio listening. Like there's another option.
Right, yeah, audio watching. You're just watching the waves go up and down. So.
Okay.
So because I went to all these different schools, my life is in my like childhood, late teens is all segmented into like what school was I going to, what group of people I was hanging out with. So it's like really distinguished chunks.
Okay.
Right? So like although as I get older, I think because that's the way things were in my childhood, now like everything is determined essentially by where I work.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like what's going on in my life outside of work, so that's how like those are the walls that
yeah.
like.
It's not like Aaron Jackson where it's just before Barack.
Like for instance, like when I first started at Target, that was like after the Kroger era, and so like
Kroger era,
right?
The Scott's Kroger era.
Oh my God! And so I'm working at Target, and I'm dating this person, and hanging out with this group of people, and I meet you, and so like that span of time when we're with the
only thing that made it out of that span of time.
Right. Yeah, when
that timeline diverted
with the Devil's Trio, right?
Yeah.
Like I can pull that out, and I can examine it, and probe it, and look at it.
Yeah.
From a different perspective, especially now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it's really weird to think about how young we were and how many weird mistakes we were making.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
All the crazy shit that we were doing then.
Yeah, yeah.
So for myself, I think, like, the first, when I look back, who's on his phone now? It's because he's got fucking 20 Grindr messages coming to him. Fucking thirsty bitches out here.
Check out the podcast.
Yeah, check out the podcast.
Shout out to
you should like really link Grindr just right to Patreon.
Oh my God, that's what I want to do. I want to so
I'm pretty
bad.
Sure that's prostitution at that point though.
I wonder if I put it in my bio if I can make it a link.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Oh my. You just gave me an idea.
But if somebody gets the Patreon video done, then it'll be more impactful.
Listen,
that was the smallest head turn on earth, just so you know.
Broken home, two words. Okay.
So, the first one that I think of is when I think of like a moment that like, man, like I would relive that time a million years in my life.
Right.
When I first met Rod, and him and I, like Rod and I, our backstory is super interesting and awesome and amazing too, just like yours and mine.
Yeah.
But I didn't ask him to come change the world because
right.
I didn't know that I was going to be able to change the world then.
Right. Yeah.
That came later.
Right.
So
humble beginnings.
Yeah. Humble beginnings. Hashtag.
Super humble.
Hashtag super humble. So Rod and I actually knew each other but weren't very close, and then he heard that I played Halo. And he wanted to play Halo against me, and because he thought he was hot shit.
Right.
And then I fucked him up real good in Halo, and after that he was like, should probably hang out more often. And like that became this really weird thing where like, all the people who Rodney hung out with, like I didn't hang out with at all.
Yeah.
I wasn't a part of that group, and then all of a sudden it became this weird thing of like, it was me and Rod and I, and like this group of like, 16 to 20 people who every weekend would get together and do LAN parties for
right.
Halo. And we'd
yeah.
do like Halo tournaments, and then we started playing all kinds of fucking games and shit.
You've got a super addictive personality too.
I do.
Niche things,
yeah.
you're like, I remember when like you started to get into cooking. Like you've always liked cooking, but you really got into it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the fucking only thing in his house is fucking Food Network.
Yeah.
And he's fucking following Gordon Ramsay around
oh
town.
And Gordon like, Ramsay's cookery course is
like,
amazing.
Oh my God, no. And it's like, and so then you just go down the rabbit hole for like 2 years on
yeah.
that. And so,
yeah.
And so I could see you like really getting into
and
this
that's,
shit.
That's
right?
what it was. Like all of a sudden, like we were, and like it was weird because like this group semi existed before I was there, but like they didn't ever get together. Like,
yeah.
Like, we started to, and then like it became like an every weekend thing. So I was a junior in high school, And it, like, every weekend we were together and we were doing something. We started playing this game called Rambo. For those of you who know what Rambo is or don't know what Rambo is hide and go seek, but it's with cars. And so we would set up a base, right?
Right.
Like, okay, the church, you know, six blocks down is base. And you, like, so one group would start at, like, a house, and then you'd have, like, a group of people in cars, and the group of people on the street had to run from the house to the church without being seen by the group of people in cars. Yeah. It was fucking amazing.
Oh, my God. That sounds...
And so we would get together and play games like that.
Yeah.
And we would do all kinds of shit. And it became this really tight-knit group of, like, 16 to 20 of us who, like, every weekend we were doing something together and, like, we'd get into these giant philosophical debates because we'd be up until fucking a billion o'clock.
Right,
morning.
Until the sun starts coming
back
up.
Just pounding Mountain Dew and, like, fucking eating Doritos.
Yeah.
And living in our parents' basements. And so, like, I think about that, and, like, that's a moment in time that I can take out of it, and, like, pretty, like, very, very few of those guys am I still in contact with, but, like, we all share, like, when we've gotten together and talked, we all share, like, that same remembrance of,
yeah,
like,
that
this
time.
Was a really good time in our lives. And, like, it's one of those things where, like, Andy in the office says, like, I wish you knew you were in the good times when you're actually in them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when I think about that. I think about that a lot. Like, that's one of those times in my life that I'm like, man. And, like, Rod and I are still best friends. Like, moved to Indiana.
Yeah.
And him and his kids and wife live here now, and, like, still a very big part of my life. And so, like, that's something I got out of that, even
right.
though, like, we don't all hang out anymore. But, like, that's one of those for me. And I can think of one other one, really, and that was my time at IU.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Your, like, big seminal, like, period would be.
Yeah, and, like, that was just a so, like, college is a weird fucking, like, social experiment. Like, going away to college, just so we're clear. Like, and I don't know if people don't talk about this enough, but, like, you take fucking a bunch of 18 to 20-year-old hormone-driven boys and girls and throw them all together on our campus where, like, anything goes pretty much.
Yeah.
And then people are surprised when, like, everyone's having sex. Well, yeah, everybody's having sex. It's the first time away from mom and dad's house, and there's literally girls right there. They're right there all the time. All the time. Nobody's coming around telling you to go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, and there's alcohol everywhere.
Oh my gosh, yeah. There's not enough food and eat too much alcohol.
Yeah.
And
it's the fucking Wild West on any campus.
Yeah.
Any college campus is the fucking Wild West.
Right.
And, like, so we all lived, it was interesting because, like, I lived in the dorms, but I think I was a sophomore or a sophomore going into being a junior. Like, I had enough credits to where I should have been a junior, but when I transferred, I lost some credits.
Right.
And so, like, I was a sophomore, but then my second semester I would be a junior, something like that.
Mm.
And we were down at IU, and it was Wright Parks was the dorm that we were in. Like, so the building was called Wright, and the floor we were on was called Parks.
Oh,
and so
okay.
we called ourselves the Wright Parks group.
Yeah.
And we, like, it was weird. You'd walk around to other floors, and, like, all the doors would be closed. And, like, nobody's talking. And then you'd come to our floor, and, like, from probably week two until the end of the fucking next year, all the doors were open. And so, like, we eventually were, like, we didn't really talk about each other as, like, roommates. So, like, my buddy Billy and I, we were roommates. We lived together in the same room. But, like, we were all floor mates. Like, that's how we looked at it. And, like, like, you people would just go in between each other's rooms and hang out and, like, it would be fucking 5 a.m, and, like, someone's door would be open, and you'd see them, like, fucking playing online poker or watching The Office, and be like, I'm gonna sit down here and spend the next 6 years of my life doing this. And,
like,
just instant bonds that you would make with these guys, and, like, I still, like, anytime, like, I get to talk to one of those guys, it's fucking phenomenal for me, and it's really weird because, like, you're put into a situation where, like, in high school, you might not have been friends with these people. Like, my roommate, Billy, super, super jock, like, meathead asshole.
Right, yeah.
Like, and I'm, like, super into video games and a big nerd, and, like, we've never been friends. Like, by the second semester, him and I were, like, inseparable. Him,
right.
I, and his friend Andrew, like, we were just fucking inseparable all the time, 24/7. Like, we would blow off class to do fucking Call of Duty, like, Modern Warfare fucking parties.
Oh, my God,
like,
right.
Everybody hang out. We're just going to play Modern Warfare. And, like, people would be walking by, and they'd be like, well, I guess I don't need to go to calculus today. And then just sit down and fucking spend the rest of the day.
Right, yeah.
But, like, just really, really cool stuff that, like, I look back on that time, and I think about, like, how much I grew as a person. And, like, you can't connect the steps or the dots unless you look backwards. And so at the time, like, I was dating somebody, and I chose to leave there, even though I loved it,
mm-hmm.
and move up to Fort Wayne to be closer with her and her family. But, like, through doing that, that's how I met you.
Right.
That's how I met Sarah. That's how I got promoted at my job. Like, all of those things, like, would not have happened had, like, I not taken the step to go to IU and then meet, you know. All
right, and so, like, the coolest thing to me about these seminal periods isn't even, because I'm not the kind of person who's, like, super sentimental about memory things.
Yeah.
But if the wind's just right, Mike, you do something real sweet, I'll shed a tear.
Yeah, no,
right?
I know.
So I'm real
know.
Sentimental about the emotional shit, like,
yeah.
actual events, someone doing an act of kindness or, you know, whatever. So, When I think of these seminal moments, the coolest pieces to me are, like, the things that have interconnected the next segment. So, for instance, I'm graduated in high school. I start dating this person, you know, I had been at this job for 3.5-4 years at this point.
Yeah.
And so, then...
This during the Kroger-Scott's era?
Right, yeah, yeah. And then you and I meet, and, like, that's the event. That night in Chicago, when we're staying up and we're talking until 4 a.m.
Nobody cuts a lean, too.
Right! and we're just, like, fucking riffing off of each other,
yeah.
and we're just talking shit. Right?
We're trying to come up with a battle plan for how we can get more pizza before we left Chicago.
Right.
Like, how fast we can get it.
Oh my God.
It was good times.
Yeah.
And anybody who tried to talk to us, just we ended up harassing.
Oh my God. Right.
It
was nuts.
It was
awesome. But that, like, to me, that is a seminal moment in my life because, like, that, even though that moment and that day did not mean much or do much for my life, it started this relationship that then, like, started the wheels turning to get me to my new job and get me out of the situation
yeah.
I was in and, like, whatnot, like, whether it's at home or with that person, you know, like, so, those, I think those are the coolest events. And then, I think about, like, for instance, so then, I finally get to Target, right, and I'm working there, and you're, like, guiding my journey, right, this whole time for...
I'm a shaman.
Right, for, like...
I'm a Sherpa. Going up the mountain!
Right, so, like, for 3 years, you're guiding my journey,
mm.
right, and, like, We had already made this connection, like, prior to my journey to Target, but, like, you're guiding me, and we're, like, developing a really good friendship, and then all of a sudden I get the news that you're leaving, like leaving the state and the city, and, like, how...
I'm up out of here.
Fucking earth-shattering that was for
yeah.
me, though, because you were such a big part of, like, everything leading up to
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
And so, like, I was fucking devastated, but it got the wheels turning again, right? Because I had become sedentary. I was like, okay, so
yeah.
like, I've reached the mountaintop, and then something happens.
I need a new Sherpa.
And yeah, right. And then I have to fucking create my own journey, and it's really weird how, like, you grow up. What?
I just imagine me walking you up a mountain and then, like, leaving you there. Like, you know,
no,
you got it from here.
Okay,
I got
so here's
to
the
do.
Thing. You got Sherpa leads me up the mountain. The only way he's not coming with me is if he's dead. If you're dead to me, okay?
I just jump on a sled and slide back down. Like,
woo!
Where the fuck did he get the sled? You just leaving me up here?
Yeah, he's a Sherpa. He's
looks
a man
like,
of many
yeah,
talents.
Looks like a snow coming. Probably should get out of here. You're good. You're good. You just... See the flag up there? Just walk up to that. I'm
yeah.
gonna Fucking out of here.
So then I think, like you leaving, that was a big thing, and that like got me moving on different things. But I was so lucky because before that I had, you know, like, what was it, like a year before that or a year and a half before that I had met Nick.
Yeah.
And so like, he was the one that was able to like get me through all of that, because like if I didn't have you and Sarah and I didn't have anybody,
yeah.
Oh God, Mike, I'd be dead right now.
Okay.
It's not
Sam would have taken
it. Right, yeah. It's not that I need people, but I, you know what? I'm a nice boy. And scary motherfuckers like Sam. Did I tell the story about how Sam was sleeping in his car?
You did on the live
video. Oh, damn it. Ah.
Yeah.
You guys, check out the live video where I tell the story about Sam sleeping in his car. The 415 killer.
The 415.
Motherfucker got a job at Papa John's now. Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
Did I tell you he's delivering Papa John's pizzas?
Yeah. He's just looking for the next person to catch.
So I think about like Nick was the one that helped guide me through that like time of uncertainty, and then I realized that like I had to be the breadwinner, I had to be the person who was like fucking business. And so then like I started down that same journey that you had been on when I met you back here in Chicago.
Right, yeah.
Right? And it was fucking crazy, like all of the shit that I went through in that last year and a half that you had gone through.
Right.
3 years earlier, right?
Yeah.
And then like, I'm sorry that I'm going on this tirade, but like I get so fucking excited about this. And then like I get to that point again where like I have done everything I can do. Right? Or I see it as I have done everything I can do in this place, with this job, with the things surrounding me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I've gotta get the ball rolling myself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what's so cool about it, Mike. That's what's so cool is that you like it's for so long in your life, for the first 23 years of my life, 24 years of my life.
How old are you now?
I'm gonna be 25.
You're gonna be 25?
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit.
So you're gonna love what I did.
Yeah, no. That's gonna be
So for the first 24 years of my life, I allowed the world to change my life for me.
Yeah.
Right? And like when you're young, it's your parents change your life for you, and like whatever, like you just get used to that,
right.
and then you get to an age where you potentially could change the world around you or the people around you for yourself, but you allow your circumstances to just shift and ebb
around you, right?
And then now I feel like I'm about to be 25 years old, and 6 months ago I reclaimed my fucking life.
Yeah,
you know, and like I did what I wanted to do, and I got that ball rolling, and I changed my circumstances for myself.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what's like so exciting.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's true of anything. Like I think we've said it many times on the podcast, but like, it's your life. Move your ass if you want to.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, you have to, and so that's cool. Like I like that. Like when you look back on like, that's how you break it up, break up your life, and like see like the progression,
right?
Essentially,
yeah, and like those links between,
yeah, and then like, so I'm curious now because like I'm right on the cusp of going into 30 here, you know, and I don't know what's next. Like I don't know what my life's going to entail. Besides that, in 10 years I will be fucking rich, and in 3 years, we'll be on the big concert.
Yeah, motherfucker.
I know those things for certain.
Yes.
But like, it's, I don't know, it's interesting to me because like, I feel like at some point I'm gonna look back on when I started, when I, like, somewhere around the time of becoming an ETL, finishing school, moving to Ohio, starting the podcast, like somewhere in there. And so like, there's like a 3 year span there of all of those things happening. But I think that's going to be like the start of the next chapter. Like that's
right,
how.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like, it's cool because like, I can look back now and I see like, clearly defined, like these things all bucket into that same time of my life. Like I was 16 and between 16 and 18 or whatever, like, boy, I thought I knew everything and I thought I knew the shit. And man, all I wanted to do with my life was play video games and do art, and like that's what I was gonna
do.
Right,
that's you.
Yeah, and then like, you know, from like fucking 22 to 20. Oh, I have a funny story to tell about when I was at IU. From like 22 to like 25, 26,
yeah.
Like, I'm like right in there, like, oh, you know, maybe this can be a career, and like figuring things out for myself, and I've gone through college, and I'm like,
right.
Oh, this is cool,
right.
You know,
yeah.
feel independent for the first time, really, even though, like, I've been independent since I was like 17, but
right.
Like, not really.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know?
like independent and responsible,
yeah.
Right, like,
yeah, yeah.
That was
two different things.
Yeah, combined, though,
yeah.
That's good.
Combined is a dangerous thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, and now, like, here I am again, and, like, I'm just curious for, like, what all this is going to be and, like, what it's going
to
be.
Well, the really cool thing is you get to experience it before I do.
Yeah, I know.
So I get to learn from all of you.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. You're a piece of shit.
It's nice.
Funny story from when I was at IU I just thought of.
Okay.
The second night we were there.
Yeah.
Second night being, like, all of
okay.
us, everybody's
yeah.
dropped off at the dorm.
Right, okay.
None of us really know each other.
Right.
But we all knew that we wanted to go smoke.
Stuff.
I was young. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
And so, at the time, like, we're idiots. We didn't know where would be a smart place because we don't know this area. We go to the train tracks behind our dorm because we were like, okay, it's like up this hill, and then there's train tracks, and then you go behind those, and like it's wooded. Nobody's gonna know. No one will think about it. Like nobody thinks to look there.
Right.
And we were like, perfect. So we go and like. All of us are, like, anxious as shit. Like, because none of us know each other. We're all just getting to know each other. We all know we want to smoke, and that's all we know about each
right.
other. And, like, so, like, we're getting to know each other, and we're all bullshitting and whatnot. But we're all, like, super on edge. Like, any noise. But, do you think it's cops? Run!
Hey,
run!
Yeah. How many people is it?
There's, like, five or six of us.
Okay.
So, not, like, a huge group, but big enough to be
right.
out in public.
Yeah.
And so we're up on this hill, and there's woods in front of us, right? And then our dorm's off in the distance. And, like, the hill is not big. It's like you could jump from the top of it to the bottom in one.
Right.
You're not going to touch anything else. You're just going to clear.
Right.
It's just like a little mound. And on the other side of the woods, past us, we start hearing this noise, and we're like, oh, shit, maybe there is somebody over there. Holy fuck. Do you think it's the cops? And, like, we start losing.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. But somebody, and this is a great, like, lesson in groupthink and mob mentality, we start to realize that it is not, in fact, the cops, but it is, in fact, some other student who we don't know, who's, like, mingling around, it's, like, two guys, and they're, like, mingling around the woods right there.
Like
we don't know what the fuck's going on.
It's before Grindr, I know what was going on there.
Somebody in the group, I don't know who to this day, says, let's throw rocks at them.
What?
And without even hesitating, we all start picking up these pebbles, like, they aren't big rocks, it's, like, little train track, like, you know, so they're just, like, little pebbles. But we start picking up fistfuls of them and chucking them through the tree.
What? I don't know.
And, like, so these guys take off running because why would you?
Why?
And, like, and we all laugh and come back out of the woods. And then, like, all of a sudden I was like, hey, guys, that escalated really quickly. Why did we throw rocks at those people? We didn't know them. Like, they weren't trying to kill us.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck were we thinking?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, yeah, that was crazy. Why did we do that? And I was like, this is going to be a crazy year.
Yeah, right.
Like, no one's in charge.
What the fuck? That's insane.
Throw rocks at him. Good idea. Why not? Let's do it.
These people. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
Sounds wonderful.
That's all I really
I think that's really all I have, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that you get to learn from my mistakes.
Oh, my God. It's been really easy.
Yeah?
That way.
Yeah, like, I'm just kind of coasting.
That's what you gotta do. That's what you gotta do, Mike. You gotta get somebody who's about 5 years older, 7 years older than you.
They'd be dead.
Yeah, that's true.
All older than me, you're probably dead.
You know, then you know what's
coming in backwards. So. better live large. I'm gonna go back and watch that episode of, like, how do you want to die or whatever.
What
to do before we die.
Yeah,
nigga, go
out of disease.
Start crossing things off the list here.
Pizza on an island, I think. That's
Pizza on an island.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, you guys, for tuning in. This has been another episode of Two Guys with Raging Goals, and we will catch you on the next one.